were told in 2020 that a vote for Joe Biden would be a vote for putting the adults back in charge, the grown-ups were coming back and they were going to rule the roost. But when you have the Cookie Monster leading when it comes to messaging, are the grown-ups really in charge? Good morning. It's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio. Sarah Smith is womaning the news desk as she always does. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Fingers.
Did you like the Sesame Street growing up?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched Sesame Street.
You did?
Yeah, for sure. When I was a wee lass, and I also am a product of the mid-90s, and those of you who were at very least teenagers at that point, there was a weird sort of Sesame Street resurgence, like Elmo t-shirts, if you'll recall. It was very big. Sesame Street started opening like clothing stores in malls across America, and people would carry like Elmo baby backpacks, and you'd have a little baby t-shirt with Elmo on it.
Do you want to hear my Elmo impersonation?
Yeah, please.
Supposed to be makes Elmo sad.
Could you please bring Fingers back, Elmo? Because there's no way. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I had to learn how to do an Elmo impersonation because I had two kids and they loved Elmo.
Hey, Mr. Elmo.
Who doesn't love Elmo? Oh, Elmo's a hit.
Yes, that's true. But growing up watching
for children.
Yes. There you saw where I was going. Growing up and watching Sesame Street and then becoming an adult, I never thought to myself, you know, there's a good possibility if one of these Muppets plays their cards right, they could be chief of staff.
I'd like to see Big Bird as Secretary of Defense someday.
Yeah, that's the dream, right?
That's what I'm thinking about when I watch my cartoons as a little kid.
We've got runaway inflation. We've got a border crisis. We have war in the Middle East. We have the war in Ukraine. And yet the Biden administration is really focused on things like shrinkflation. Something that has happened for decades, by the way. It's nothing new.
It's been going on for as long as I can remember. It's certainly gotten abrupt recently.
Yeah.
Please.
Cookie Monster got on X and tweeted out me. I'm not going to do a Cookie Monster. Can you do a Cookie Monster?
I cannot do a Cookie Monster.
Me hates shrinkflation. I can't do it either.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No,
that's not bad.
I don't think it's difficult, you know, as many people have called me a modern day Rich Little. You kids under the age of 70, ask Jeeves Rich Little. It's very hard to transition, which is really a sentence you shouldn't say in 2024. It's really hard to transition from Elmo to Cookie Monster.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a leap, as they say.
Well, it's shrinkflation.
Me hates shrinkflation. Me cookies getting smaller. This is how ridiculous these times are, ladies and gentlemen.
This is insane. On X.
Yes, on X. Guess me going to have to eat double the cookies. And you're like,
was this on the Sesame Street X?
We're going to go with that.
I would hope that it wasn't like from the White House account.
Oh, wait.
Oh, just you wait, Henry Higgins.
C is for customers getting ripped off, the White House tweeted.
Stop it. Is the White House still blaming the rich CEOs of
yes
groceries companies for the prices?
Yes. C is for customers getting ripped off. The White House tweeted, President Biden is calling on companies to put a stop to shrinkflation.
Wow. Well, you know, the adults are in charge. And if there's one thing an adult is good at is using little kids to get their messaging across.
Right.
Is it something? Wow. I'm looking at the tweet right here, people. I clicked on that hyperlink and it is here right here in front of my face. They haven't even deleted it. Nobody's embarrassed.
Other Democrats
is being invaded and the White House is posting it Muppets.
Yeah. A Democratic Senator, Sherrod Brown, also chimed in writing, quote, big corporations shrink the size of their products without shrinking their prices, all to pay the CEO bonus. That's right.
A really, really good solution to big corporations would be.
What's that?
Big government.
Yes.
Someone, one of the cheap people in an expensive suit should do something about the CEOs.
Thank you. You know what you do, Sarah? You make the complex simple.
Explain it so everyone can have a clear picture of what we're talking about here.
You know, all these outrageous CEO bonuses. And by the way, I know what I'm doing right now is not popular by defending CEOs, but the idea that politicians are griping about CEOs making too much money, when you see
It's just not right that they use their position of authority to benefit themselves. Oh, really, politician?
That makes really almost sad.
Unbelievable.
It's something else.
I mean, I can't remember. I saw a piece the other day, and gosh, I can't remember if it was a congressman or a senator. But you just start looking at the amount of the folks in the swamp, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter if you're in the House or in the Senate, how they are able to turn a salary that's less than $400,000 a year into $20-30 million over a career. But those CEO bonuses, ladies and gentlemen,
someone should do something.
Be a law.
Oh my gosh. But it's not just the shrinkflation stuff that he's going after, because this is something else too. And again, I know I am not taking popular stands right now, but the banking industry, Sarah, erupted this week over Biden, the administration's new rule on credit card late fees.
Oh,
credit card late fees will be capped at $8, reducing the average late fee of $32. Now, listen, by the way, this show is not sponsored by Capital One, American Express, you name the Visa, MasterCard, no credit card company sponsors this show. And I'm not championing credit card late fees. But having said that, they're going after what they call junk fees, Sarah.
Well, what's a junk fee?
Well, it's a fee.
Is this just a new term they've come up with to protect us? Okay.
Yes. Like, for instance, in Vegas, now hotel rooms have the resort fee, and some of the resort fees are like $50 a night at some properties on the strip. You go to book a flight and you see how they nickel and dime you, and the extra fees that you're not even reading. And so they're like, well, this is something we can actually do something about, because they can't do anything about the spike in crime, what's going on at the border, the war in the Middle East, the war in Ukraine, the you name the list goes on, inflation, boom, 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 right down the list of things that they should be concentrating on. But that's just too hard.
Right. Let's go after those junk feeds.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, Sarah, for those in the know, finalized a new rule to cap all credit card late fees at $8, which will apply to the country's largest credit card issuers covering more than 1 million open accounts. Now, I know that there are a lot of people, particularly on the left, who think, oh, that's wonderful. Stick it to the man.
Yeah. Stick it to your bills on time.
Well, there's that.
Or there's that. Or have like a iota of fiscal responsibility and be aware of the money that is going out and coming in at any given day or any given week or any given month, and know what bills are coming up and have some sort of responsibility for yourself. Or that.
Yeah. Well, the American Bankers Association, they aren't happy, Sarah. And
well, I'm sure not.
They're making a lot of sense with their statement. Today's flawed final rule will not only reduce competition and increase the cost of credit, but it will also result in more late payments, higher debt, lower credit scores, and reduced credit access for those who need it most. Everything the left touches turns to crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else? What are they supposed to come in and fix if they don't turn it to crap?
Yeah.
Do you see?
And then you need to continue to vote for them to fix the problem of it becoming crappy. Because here's what's going to happen. Credit will become tighter. Mm-hmm. And then the think piece stories will start coming out. Credit has become tight. Women and minorities, hardest hit.
Exactly.
And then the government will have to step in somehow. And then we'll have an Uncle Sam credit card that will not be affiliated with MasterCard or Visa.
Backed by the full faith of the federal government.
Oh, we're just solving all the problems here today.
We are a blessed people.
We have to thank our betters in Washington for coming up with these things, Sarah.
I don't know what we would do without them.
But the Biden administration, President Biden is really in some hot water because, as you've seen, based on the behavior of leftist activists this week, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was at a movie, Porky's 3, I think it
just
was.
Just trying to live her life.
Yes. Just trying to live her best life at a movie theater. And she had protesters in her face, trying to get her to say Jenny genocide, I think is what they were trying to get her to say.
Say the word.
Yes.
Say the word.
Because, you know, as we all know,
she dropped an F-bomb on him. Did you see that?
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen it yet, go to the Google box and look it up. It is poritzy titty titty funny because she gets mad
because it's amazing. She's not left enough for these people.
Exactly. Well, and she's missed like protest is supposed civil protest is supposed to make you uncomfortable. And it's meant to get up and she's always there. And these two people, just two people with their masks and their cameras were following her rudely.
Yes. Yes.
This was not a protest. This was two people trying to get her to say a lie. And then she compounded that with another lie where she said she already had said it mm-hmm. and called them liars. And then she dropped a big F-bomb. It was great, guys.
Yeah.
Highly entertaining.
But you get on the X, which, of course, we all know Twitter isn't real, but still enough people chiming in saying that laughing at the suggestion that she's gone too far to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. she's not left wing enough for these nut jobs.
Nope.
And that's
near it.
And that's the problem, is that it feels like much of policy that is being implemented by the Biden administration is being influenced by these whack job activists. And so the story from NBC News, President Joe Biden is trying to ramp up political pressure on Israel's government to allow in more humanitarian aid and rein in the offense on the Gaza Strip. It's offensive, but this isn't
rain in. It's offensive on the Gaza Strip.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Chiming in on.
I'm here to help.
You're just having a hard time reading.
Well, I mean, the words are in different color.
Yeah. Thank you. I thought that was just me.
No, it's when it switches, when it goes to a hyperlink and changes color, my brain starts getting dyslexic.
Yeah. So. Rain in its offensive in the Gaza Strip, but has stopped short.
Biden wants Israel to stop hurting the Gazans.
But it stopped short of cutting off weapons deliveries to America's main ally in the Middle East. They're calling for Israel to the activists want them to immediately stop all military actions because, you know, heaven forbid that Hamas gets destroyed.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so there is so much going on over there.
People have been told that 300,000 people have died in Gaza and it's a genocide.
Yeah.
And when you believe what you're told without any bit of curiosity or objective thought or consideration of where the information came from, you're going to get real worked up about the fact that the American government is supporting this. 300,000,060,000,000,000,000 people have died in Gaza.
Those are real numbers from
real numbers
released by Hamas. Our good friend Tony Katz, who does Tony Katz in the Morning News and Tony Katz Today, and of course co-hosts Eat Drink Smoke, the nationally syndicated cigar and bourbon show that we do together. Find all of that on your favorite podcast platform. He's been in Israel for a week.
Yes.
And he's done a lot of great reporting from Israel and has provided a perspective from the Israeli people that we are not seeing in America media today. And I told Tony I wanted to play some of his stuff while he was over there. I highly encourage you to go to YouTube or Rumble and look for Tony Katz on YouTube. WIBC, his home radio station, has a YouTube channel where you can find his videos. Rumble, Sarah, you can probably help me.
They have it. So WIBC also has it up at WIBC.com, and everything will be coming out. You can go to TonyKatz.com. Or you can go to Rumble. As of right now, they're not on Tony Katz's page as of broadcast. They're only at WIBC, but it won't be long, or just a couple days, and then they'll start going up on Tony's. So okay. Check them out.
So
Tony Katz, KATZ.
Yes, KATZ. Make sure you check them out if you want to see, you know, what's going on over there. I was shocked at some of the stuff Tony's been reporting. It's stuff, like I said, that you're just not seeing reported on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. None of those fine news organizations, Sarah. So we're going to play a little bit of Tony. He's touring a hotel, and some of this is visual. I think you really need to go check out the video if you can to get full perspective on what he's saying. But it kind of goes over some of what's going on over there, you know, everyday life for Israelis since the terrorist attack on October 7th.
This is the lobby of the Royal Beach Hotel in Tel Aviv. One of the stories not told by our press in the U.S. is that there are refugees because of the terrorist attack by Hamas. Tens of thousands of Israelis don't have homes anymore, can't go back to their home. Where do they go? Where do they stay? How do they survive? Hotels in Israel have opened up, and there are whole hotels that are now housing people who were displaced. One of them is this beautiful hotel, the Royal Beach, which is a block from the Mediterranean Ocean. And in this hotel, in this lobby, when you enter, you'll see people sitting, you'll see them talking, and then you'll see, this memorial to those in the kibbutz that were killed. This kibbutz close to Berry, where we were just the other day, where the security team was killed, others were killed. They, from what I know, had a little time to get ready. They knew what was happening in other places, but not everybody survived. It's just an example of Israelis making sure they're taking care of their own, which is something that we in the United States would most absolutely expect. And just a reminder that not all is normal. Things are not back to normal by any stretch of the imagination. People don't have homes, and it's not known when they'll have a home again.
That was Tony Katz over in Israel. Again, check out all of his work on YouTube, WIBC. And, you know, we Sarah mentioned again, where can people find it if they're not YouTubers?
Oh, they can go to WIBC.com and they've got it all over the homepage.
Okay.
So check the people.
Yeah. So check all of his, and he's going to have so much video coming out in the coming weeks. It's unreal just how much he's seen and how much he's reporting on. One thing, go ahead.
We said jinx. The video or the audio you just heard does have video that goes along with it. You can see visually what he's talking about, but you heard him mention that there's, you know, 80,000 refugees in Israel that have been displaced. And that is a major thing that is not being spoken about in American media. And if you look at his other videos, you'll hear stories of people who survived the terrorist attack. You'll hear stories of the from the medical centers and the trauma centers that they've built from the lessons they've learned from that day. It's just a lot of information coming out that we all do news. The American media does not cover this side of the story of what's going on in Israel at all.
No, because they, well, first of all, let's face it, it's the corporate media is mostly liberal, but then on top of it, they are also influenced by even more so by X and social media. And there's just no telling the Israeli side of the story on social media without getting completely blasted by people repeatedly, to the point where if you put too much out there, they'll show up while you're trying to watch a movie and shout things in your face and chase you out of a movie theater, because that's what the left does, to the point where, you know, Super Tuesday happened this week. I know people are probably asking, why aren't you guys talking about it? Because you already know what happened. But one of the big announcements was
that's like so many days ago, guys.
Yes. Right. Was Senator Kyrsten Sinema announced that she will not seek re-election. And she mentioned, you know, the polarization and how we're, you know, getting further and further away from each other, left and right, is one of the reasons why, you know, she was trying to be the better, hotter version of Mitt Romney, Sarah, bringing the left and right together. And and by doing so, ticking everyone off.
Right. Nobody's happy with that, guys. And they're responsible for this. You have polarized us to a point where nobody is happy with moderates anymore. It doesn't matter which side you're on. A moderate's not going to do it because you were so angry about what's happened on the other side. It's just not going to work.
So we will miss political hot Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe she'll start a podcast with Tulsi Gabbard and it will be a video podcast and we can see them talk to each other.
See, what you know what I like about you? You are an eternal optimist.
I'm just saying. I don't want them to disappear. Even as a lady, I like looking at them. Even as a lady that's attracted to men, I enjoy looking at them.
Yeah. I like looking at them too. More of the Snark Factor coming up. She's Sarah. I'm Fingers. This is Wham Talk Radio. As you know from the movie, the first rule of Illegal Alien Fight Club is to film it and share it with the masses. Welcome back to the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio. Follow me on at Fingers Malloy. Follow Sarah Smith on X at Mama Swati. If you can get on Facebook, facebook.com/Fingers Malloy Radio is where you can find all things snark. Eat, Drink, Smoke, the nationally syndicated radio show I do with Tony Katz. Cigars, bourbon, other talk. You could find that on your favorite podcast platform. Find everything really over at fingersmalloy.com. That's my website. Now, Sarah, yes. This was an exclusive. What's that from?
Exclusive.
I don't know. I thought you just made it up.
No. I know what it was. Between Two Ferns, when it was on Crackle or whatever. Did you ever watch Between Two Ferns?
I did. I just am not familiar with this particular reference.
Oh, that's how they would bring it up at the beginning, because it was exclusive to Crackle.
Nice.
So it would be Zach Galifianakis saying exclusive.
That's great.
So the story's over at the New York Post, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And, we're told over and over again, repeatedly, that we need to welcome illegal immigrants into the country. Oh, you know, they cross the border illegally and, they're here for nothing but good things make sure that they...
We are a nation of immigrants.
Yes, that's true. And of course, I have to once again say that Sarah and I are both pro-immigration.
Sure are. I love that tax revenue, baby. Bring it. Let's go.
Yes, it would be nice.
Somebody's got to pay for my Social Security.
There it is. But, you see these stories, and the left does not want to acknowledge that there is a dark side to all of this.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, this is unreal. So, illegal immigrants brawl with boxing gloves in Fight Club near New York City shelter, with onlookers egging them on. So, yeah, Matthew Sadaka, not any relation to Neil, as far as I know.
As far as we know.
Yeah. Has the story. A parking lot near a Queens shelter has turned into a violent scene ripped straight out of the film Fight Club, with migrants brawling on camera as bloodthirsty onlookers bet on the bouts.
Wow.
This has been going on, Sarah, for over a month. Migrants living in a nearby La Quinta Inn shelter.
It's always a La Quinta. What? La Quinta? Bad name. I love me La Quinta. Love me some La Quinta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've got the waffle maker.
They sure do.
In the breakfast area.
Sure do.
La Quinta shelter on Long Island.
Right. On Queens Boulevard in Long Island City.
Yes. Have slipped on boxing gloves to pound each other into oblivion in a McDonald's parking lot across the street. So, and they have video of this, and they have pictures of what appears to be, at least 20 mm-hmm. young men.
Quite amused with themselves.
Yeah. Here's the money quote, Sarah, in the piece. It's students. They're the ones fighting. One migrant washing a car behind the shelter insisted, likely referring to hot-headed teens. But someone who lives in the area, a neighborhood car equipment salesman, said Fight Club, F Club, drug distribution club. It's lawlessness at its finest.
Well, I can't disagree with the car equipment salesman.
Yeah. So you're living in the neighborhood, and maybe 3-4 years ago, none of this is happening. Probably not happening. Now, all of a sudden, you can't go to a La Quinta or the McDonald's across the street. Right. How would you like to run that McDonald's? If this is happening during lunch?
Exactly. Oh, man. The amateur parking lot bouts have taken place during the warmer winter weather, with three being held in the past month, one area worker said, claiming that other migrants were slinging drugs and soliciting prostitution nearby, too. They don't have anything to do, so that's what they do, the worker, 29 years old, said. It's getting out of control. Since spring of 2022.
See, you're doing it too, Sarah.
Since spring of 2020, 2022. More than 178,000 migrants have entered the Big Apple.
Think about that, 178,000. And of course, you know, they're undercounting that.
Of course.
You know darn well they're undercounting that. Remember for years?
Yes, it says more than. They covered themselves.
Yeah, they did. But you know, they're not, they don't have accurate numbers.
No, they don't.
And they're always going to, it's one of the few times where they're going to go lower.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Even the next fact they give, at least 65,000 of them currently are in the city's care. So it's more than and at least I just cannot. And this is the New York Post, you guys. This isn't some like lefty rag trying to make it sound better than it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It is getting out of control. And the idea that I remember I'm going to totally sound like an old man, Sarah.
That's all right. It happens to the best of us.
I remember as a kid, growing up in the mean streets of Saginaw, Michigan, Sarah.
Saginawsome.
That's right. You couldn't even loiter on a Friday in a Taco Bell parking lot without cops showing up and, hey, move along, kid.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, there were signs outside the movie theater, any place that kids might gather. There was a police officer that patrolled the area to make sure nobody was gathered there.
But here's what you do, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist. But the first thing you do is you attack the police and do what you can to defund the police, cut police morale down to nil, to where it's hard not only to get police to do their job if they're allowed to by the district attorney, and kill recruitment, so we have less police on the street. And then you bring in illegal aliens who will apparently just do whatever the hell they want to do. And if I didn't know any better, Sarah, I would swear that they're doing this on purpose.
It's weird, right? It's weird. It's almost as if it's all part of some sort of plan.
Yes. I don't know. But I'll tell you something as far as something that's wonderful. You have the story, Sarah. Mm. Former Michigan football standout Braylon Edwards stepped in to prevent violence.
So again, you had a violent brawl breakout. This was, I guess, a brawl is not the right word in this.
Brouhaha.
Brouhaha. An 80-year-old man was working out at a suburban Detroit YMCA.
By the way, God bless. I'm not even close to 80, even though I feel many days like I am 80. Uh-huh. And I'm not working out. 80-year-old going to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yep. At the gym, a 20-year-old started beating him. Now, I don't care what the lead up to it was. Like, I don't care. I don't care if the 80-year-old stole the 20-year-old's machine. I do not care what the pre-story was. This 20-year-old was beating the C word out of this 80-year-old man, this elderly man.
You can say crap.
Can I?
Yes.
Thanks, FCC. They're beating the crap out of this 80-year-old man. See, I had to say it again just so that I could say it. Now I'm going to say it all the time.
Just don't use the S word.
Right. So that's intentionally why I went for the C word. Like, this is why I did that. But fortunately for the 80-year-old man who was being beaten by this 20-year-old who has had attempted murder charges filed against him, by the way.
Wow.
For the incident. So that's how badly he was beating him. Edwards jumped in and handled the situation. The kid fled, you know, but then all of a sudden you've got Braylon Edwards, who's, you know, 41 here. And he stepped in and the kid ran off. And the 80-year-old man has a severe head injury. And Mr. Braylon Edwards is a hero.
Yes, he is. Good for Braylon Edwards. I'm sure that this 80-year-old man was disrespecting this 20-year-old. So apparently, right, in this guy's mind,
I'm sure he did something to deserve it.
Yeah. So he deserved getting the crap kicked out of him.
Oh.
80 years old. See, but this all feels like it's by design too, you know, to try to hit generations against each other.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, okay, boomer.
Yeah. Everything that is the fault of this world, if it's not America's fault or Israel's fault, it is old people's fault, right? Yes. Old people ruined the market, the housing market, and this and that. And it's the old people who, well, you bought your house for $27,000 50 years ago. Well, you know, yeah, sure did.
You're not much of a man if you're 20 and you're beating up on an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, no, there's nothing mannish about that.
But apparently nowadays, Sarah, there is pressure to feel manly.
Oh, well, is this in reaction to the war on toxic masculinity?
I guess I don't know. But a survey, according to the New York Post, of 2000 men,
survey says
half of whom are sexually active, found that 50% feel under pressure to perform masculinity. Masculinity. To perform masculinity? Okay, now that screwed me up because that's
not right.
Yeah. And 8 in 10 agree that there is societal pressure for men to behave a certain way.
To perform masculinity.
To perform.
I'm going to start demanding that of my husband. I'm going to be like, perform masculinity.
is masculinity now considered performance art?
To perform masculinely? Okay, I'm going to stop grammar checking the New York Post and I'm going to get back to the issue at hand here. So this study is saying that they feel impression. Okay, so half of men feel pressure to be manly. So let's look into this. How do they describe manly? This pressure comes from expectations like knowing how to be handy around the house.
Okay.
While others feel forced to act a certain way in front of others or to have a specific body type. So they're putting this handyman, masculine behavior and a masculine body type in under this manly umbrella. Okay.
A manly umbrella?
It was a manly umbrella is what it was. 29% of these men admitted that they wish they could embrace their feminine side more.
Stop it. What does that even, what does that mean?
Does that mean
I'm a guy that's yearning to walk into a Bed Bath and Beyond? Is that what this is? I really would like to come home from work and burn a 3-wicked Yankee candle. Soothing bath.
All I'm saying is this survey, whoever did this survey, this is highly problematic. There's a lot of like gender normative assertions here. There's a lot of behavior of what is meant. A feminine side. Like, what does that mean to embrace your feminine side?
Are we even allowed to say these things?
Exactly. Like, I feel like we're going to get canceled. Many of these men feel particularly misunderstood when it comes to romantic relationships, their sense of humor, and their financial knowledge. They feel misunderstood and they're having moments of self-doubt. The
wow.
average man experiences feelings of insecurity over 900 times throughout the year.
Now, how do you even come up with that number? Geez, you know, I got to tell you, let me see. I felt insecure 6 times yesterday.
What I've been doing is I've been keeping a journal. And in my journal, is that the embracing their feminine side? Is that what that means, is to journal about their feelings of self-doubt? Because that sounds pretty chicky to me.
Well, then that would actually, if someone could do an intervention for that particular dude, he's embracing his feminine side if he's doing that.
I mean, this is just a lot. This is a lot. You know what this tells me?
What does it tell you?
This tells me that we all have too much time on our hands, that we
yes.
have life too simple for ourselves. And the fact that we are sitting around thinking about and talking about all this stuff instead of just addressing our immediate lives and our immediate relationships and what is and isn't working and what can be better. We are sitting around taking surveys and then comparing well, other men have self-doubt too, so I guess I'm okay. Everybody has self-doubt. It's called being human. It sucks. Get used to it.
When you're a guy, you know how you get over self-doubt? You perform masculinity is what you do. That's what Fingers Molloy Sr. taught me. Whenever you're having a little bit of self-doubt, just perform some masculinity and boy, howdy.
Can I add an A in there? Perform a masculinity? That's even better.
I don't know what any of this means, but it is funny because I saw someone was going over a study where one of the popular things right now, and it has been for some time, is women to declare their love for dad bods on men.
Dad bod. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, it's always, oh, I love a dad bod. I love a dad bod. I love a dad bod.
Not that much of a dad bod.
Right? Between that or, later they'll show pictures of ideal bodies on men. And these same women will look to the guy who plays Reacher in the TV show and be like, oh, my goodness.
Six abs. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No dad bod there.
Nope. No dad bod. You can just like, because you know why none of this makes sense? Because all of it is just stuff that's been made up on the internet.
Yes.
For people to write articles about and for us to make jokes about.
Social media outrage, Sarah, is one of the things that I really love to talk about, along with attacks on a masculinity. I don't really like to talk about that, but there was attack on one person's masculinity in the Las Vegas hotel, Sarah.
Oh, no. Is it bed bugs again?
Worse. Oh, bed no. Scorpions.
No.
Have you heard about bed scorpions, Sarah?
Never going to Vegas again. Oh, I guess this isn't a problem that I have to worry about, is it?
No.
Not technically.
Well, I mean, not testically.
Perform a testically.
A Las Vegas hotel guest was stung in the testicles by a scorpion while sleeping. It felt like sharp glass.
Oh gosh. First of all, I just want to shout out because the auto video that's playing while I look at this article is Ocasio-Cortez screaming at the people asking her from that we discussed last segment. So that's a fun little bring full circle for me.
Oh, for me, it's a mountain lion attacking a dog. So you win this round, Sarah Smith.
I win auto ad bingo. So he was asleep.
Not the scorpion, the hotel
Michael
guest.
Farchi.
Stop it.
Hotel guest.
Stop it.
Michael Farchi is
Dr. Fauci.
Dr. was he's a California native or lives in California. He was at the Venetian.
Oh.
No comment.
Wow.
I just felt like somebody stabbing me in my private area, he said, of the nightmare moment the eight-legged parasite latched on. It felt like a sharp glass or knife. Ugh. He got, oh my, it's a tiny little scorpion, but there it is. There's a photo up there and everything. Oh my goodness. I went to the restroom. I saw a scorpion hanging on my underwear. I'm never going to Vegas again.
He went to the ER. Everyone was in shock. Nobody believed it. Even he couldn't believe it. he filed a complaint with the hotel before checking out. And he was given a $5 food credit. I kid. I just added that.
A rep for the Venetian issued a statement saying the resort has protocols for all incidents and we can confirm they were followed in this incident. Well, gee, thanks, rep at the Venetian. I, for one, feel completely calm.
I feel like the Venetian should now have a sign out front saying it's been 3 days since a guest was bitten in the testicles by a scorpion.
3 days since testicle scorpion sting.
Worst band name ever. Mm. Speaking of who else is having a bad PR week besides the Venetian, Wendy's. So they're trying to make up for this price surge fiasco by
what happened?
Okay, so Wendy's, they're going to sell dollar burgers following their dynamic pricing fiasco, according to foodandwine.com. So, Sarah, Wendy's at one point last week, they threw out the idea that they were going to change their drive-through menus, their dine-in menus to digital boards. And much like Lyft and Uber, if you went to the restaurant when it was busy, the price of the burgers and food would go up based on how busy the restaurant was.
They did not do that. They did that?
No, they were the word got out that that's what they were going to do. And the
pricing for burgers?
Yes. So,
Republicans,
Democrats, independents, libertarians, Whigs. It didn't matter who it was. Everybody was like, Wendy's, you're out of your mind.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So they backtracked, and now they're going to start selling dollar burgers for the foreseeable future.
Really?
But you know, who knows how big this burger is?
Yeah, no, totally. It's probably like whatever scrap meat that they don't normally the next step down from what they usually order. Just send us a bunch of that. We're going to start selling dollar burgers for
this. Yeah, time. Now there's going to be a shortage of Wendy's chili. Based on big fan of the.
I do love the Wendy's chili. I just don't like to think about what is in it.
Yeah. I'm sure it's like wonderful, Wendy's, because I don't want to get sued.
Right. We love you, Wendy's. You get the baked potato loaded and you get a cup of chili and you pour that on the baked potato. I mean, that's a meal. It's a full.
Well, I heard someone talking the other day. They went to it's a regional restaurant, basically, I think, in the Midwest, a regional chain called Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake. I have been to Steak and Shakes, but yes.
They make steak burgers, you know, basically the smash burgers.
Smash burgers. Yeah, they're smash steak burgers, and their shakes are really good.
Yeah, their shakes are fantastic. But what they do, this person, they have a grilled cheese sandwich at Steak and Shake, and then they order the chili, and then they dip the grilled cheese in the chili. Yeah.
Oh, see, if you're talking to me about a burger joint that also serves a grilled cheese, I get two grilled cheeses and a burger and throw away the patty and make the grilled cheeses my burger. Bread.
So I've seen people do that.
Sandwiches with a burger in between. We're going to have burgers tonight, people. I'm ready. I'm making burgers for dinner tonight.
We have to go. She is Sarah. I'm Fingers. We will be back next week with an all new Snark Factor, Wham Talk Radio.